It's Great Mondays Radio. I'm Josh Levine, your host, founder of Great Mondays. We help executives from hypergrowth technology and social enterprise organizations build cultures that attract, engage, and retain top talent. If you'd like to be a guest on our program, hang out for about 20 minutes and I'll tell you how. Hey, everybody. It is Josh Levine with Great Mondays. Today, my guest is Stephanie Manzelli. She is the Chief People Officer at Employ, which is the umbrella brand for lots of amazing employee hiring and recruiting software like Jazz HR, JobVite, and Lever. And we are going to talk about what she's seeing as far as trends in the market when it comes to the talent, recruiting, and all the kind of trends, scary trends coming our way, perhaps with AI and other uncertainties. Stephanie, thanks for coming on Great Mondays Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to chat with you today.
Yeah. So you have a particular perspective where you believe that there is going, we are either about to hit or are currently in the middle of the beginning of a huge shift in what you're calling skills-based hiring and skills matching. Can you talk a little bit about what you're seeing, what that means, and why you think that it's not just, I think you're purposefully using the word shift and not evolving, right? Like there's something, there's like a discrete moment coming. What does that mean?
Well, I think, we've talked a lot about skills-based hiring over the last couple of years, but I think the distinction that I see now that maybe we haven't talked about is, you know, the world's changed quite a bit and we're sort of at this critical inflection point where in the next couple of months, we're going to have the market flooded with a bunch of highly, highly skilled federal workers that will be transitioning from the public sector into the private sector, and us trying to find matches for those skills within our organizations. It behooves us to actively seek out that talent as well. But I think in addition to that, you know, with all of the AI everything, you know, we need to start to think about who we're hiring for tomorrow. We need to make sure that we're hiring people that know how to use the tools as our workplaces are evolving and can help us to continue to propel our businesses forward.
Okay, so let's break that down because there's a couple interesting ideas in there. So one is all of a sudden we have these public sector, talented public sector workers, but they haven't worked in the private sector before. And even more, they may not have worked in a particular industry. And so
yeah.
How does one take advantage of that? Because if we're thinking about it in kind of the kind of reactive, traditional, old school hiring way, it's you haven't done this before, so I don't know that you can do this. And that's often a shortcut that that recruiters will take. So how should we think about assessing or using this moment to assess in a new way?
It's a good question. I think a couple of things. I think some of the best candidates, we used to call them non-traditional backgrounds, right? When it didn't directly match the job description or they didn't have 10 to 15 years experience in this very particular sector or this very particular industry.
Mm-hmm.
And we would present the candidates and we would say, oh, this person has a non-traditional background. Please, you know, interview them. It is sort of the same thing, only far more prevalent, right? And so for us, the way that I think the world is going to shift a little bit or that we need to shift towards is a job description is great. We must have job descriptions. They are the thing that articulate the outline of the role. But then there's this other element of what I personally call a candidate persona. And many organizations do this through by way of a rec intake process or just fundamentally understanding the role. I call it a candidate persona, but it's a real fundamental understanding of the skills and experiences that a candidate must have had to be successful. So is it leveraging certain types of technology? Is it Is it the way that they navigate an organization? Is it that they've been in an environment that is similar to yours in the sense of, rapid fire or chaos or, making calm in a storm? What are the experiences that a person has had that would make them a good fit for your organization? And then you marry those job skill requirements with the candidate persona, and you're able to make a more solid match. I think from my perspective, I think that's probably, the best way for us to be vetting a lot of this talent.
Yes, that seems right. No, you're not going to get any arguments from me on that. But I want to call out one thing that you said, which is, hey, I'm an individual making the case for a non-traditional, someone with a non-traditional background. And that, in fact, is how it works, right? You get personal introductions. But what if we're talking about a scale of, I mean, I think even before this, flood of public sector workers, right? There was plenty of non-traditional workers, but if they didn't have the ear of a human inside, then it's going to be a lot harder. Or maybe I'm misinterpreting, but all the same to say that how do we scale that in a way that is not relying on, this, I guess, ultimately just like, hey, make this personal introduction to me. Or maybe you'll tell me that that's the right way to come at it as a candidate, right? Like,
Well, I mean, it's not a bad idea. Listen, I think it's different for different levels. I think as you are sourcing or recruiting a higher level hierarchically in an organization, yes, I would 100% agree with you. It has a lot to do with who you know and the connection points and can you do this introduction? And that's really where, even things like executive search firms have been super successful is in that connection.
yeah.
But I don't necessarily think it needs to be that way at all levels, certainly. I think there's a couple of things. I think in how you position your experience it is really important. And I think in the way that our recruiters recruit, that would be my one biggest piece of advice. And even as I think about how I've shifted the
Yeah.
way that my recruiters
Yeah.
interact with the business and with candidates, for better or worse, we do have AI, right? Whatever you want to call it, we do have it. It is something that is available to recruiters to help make resume matches, certainly not disposition candidates, but funnel some, candidates higher to the top of the, to the top of the pile. But it then relies on that recruiter to have a more in-depth connection conversation with the candidate where you're
Right.
asking, behavioral-based interview questions with real tangible examples to be able to suss out whether or not these candidates have the experiences, that they've articulated.
Right.
And I think, but the same goes internally, right? It's the recruiter's ability to ask the hiring team internally the specifics and the HR business partner, if you have those and they're involved in the process, to ask the specifics of the hiring team of what is really critical and needed for this role.
Yeah.
I think back in my career, I was in retail for a long time and I loved it. And I was in off-price retail. And I'm telling you, off-price retail moves a million miles a minute. The product in the org that I worked at would shift in the stores every 3 weeks. And when I made my leap into tech, everybody in tech said, I know you worked at this big company. Things must move slowly there. I felt like I'd taken a break. I was slowing down in the tech space coming from sort of this retail environment. And but that experience, actually, that speed at which I operated lended itself very nicely to a transition in the tech space because I was able to quickly run alongside some of my technology partners.
So this leads me back to that candidate persona, and I think what I hear you saying is, you need to work a little bit harder or think a little bit more about what is behind those requirements that are typically out there. And sure, there's going to be some bullets where it's must know tech X,
Sure.
but I think this idea, like infusing this candidate persona into all steps in the process, because I think many orgs are overwhelmed by the number of applications that they get. And so they're like, triage, blah, right? Like, okay, must have exact number, you know, year, you know, like experience years or whatever the criteria is. Can we, does this technology that's starting to emerge, AI, in your opinion, start to move, give us the ability to kind of integrate it, or maybe it's not just the tech, but integrate this into across that process?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I also think it helps us create efficiency within our process. I think, you know, I've heard a lot of people talking about, oh, AI is going to replace recruiters. It's going to replace jobs. No, AI is going to replace jobs for people who don't know how to use it, right? Who don't know how to use it to augment their role. I think it's given us this blessing of, you know, us being able to focus on other areas more in depth that we hadn't been able to because of administrative work. I do want to go back to something that you said at the start, though, of like companies being inundated with applications. Every company is right now. But I do think that there is a point at which your recruiter should shut off those job postings. There is nothing more disheartening than seeing thousands of applications at that number, right? And so, you know, for us, we've changed our process internally. Shut off our job postings, and we get through every candidate so that every candidate has an interaction with us. We don't auto-position anybody.
Gosh, that this is like, if there's one thing that people should take away from this conversation that is super concrete, like it just, that's a great piece of advice, because it instantly creates a better experience internally and externally. It is a win-win-win, because you're right. It's like, oh, well, we'll just take it. It's cavalier almost. Yes. Right. Yes. And you're like, what are you doing? Like, how is that possible? And it's just, it feels very defeated. I don't know. I think that's probably right.
No, I love it. Internally, I'll say, let's not be greedy. No, but in all seriousness, we shut them off, and we'll send a note to our hiring manager internally. Listen, let us get through the applicants and we'll post it. Or if my recruiters are, yeah, if you were to look on anyone's LinkedIn, my recruiters will post online, we've temporarily shut this down to get through all candidates. And that's because we want every candidate to know that we've looked at their application. And it's important to us. And so, so I did just want to say that, but,
Thank you. I appreciate that. Know,
I think overall, and that would be my advice to everybody, but I think overall, by using AI responsibly to augment your process, it actually does allow the recruiter to get back to the human piece and to get back to, whether it be a cultural ad, a quality of candidate. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily just about a fast fill. It needs to be about the right profile match. And so if we enable our recruiters, we take away whatever you choose to use AI for, your scheduling, your sourcing, whatever it is, that's the tooling that you've determined is the right companion for you. It allows the recruiter to do what the recruiter does best, which is the human component of matching the person to the need of the business, not just for today, but what we need in another year or another five.
I mean, now that you say it, it's like so blatantly obvious, but it has like, to me, it just makes a ton of sense. But that's what the use is for. And that's what we're trying to do here, right? We're trying to hire the right humans, and we need humans to do that. The other interesting part of this equation is the role itself. And so we're all aware of the incredible acceleration that we're working within and uncertainty. So we're, my hunch is, much like we used to say, or at least I'm telling my son, that you're going to have a job that it's not like there's a major that you can go into and then that's the job that you're going to get. That doesn't happen anymore. And it feels like there's an accelerated pace where pretty shortly you're going to get hired, and people shuffle around all the time. That's one of the benefits. They go do different things. So I'm not in the recruiting field, right? So give me your perspective. Is that hunch correct? And if so, what are we doing about it? Because that feels like crazy. That feels crazy making. You want me to hire for something that doesn't, like, I don't know where this person's gonna land. What are they gonna do?
Yeah. Well, it comes right back down to that persona, right? Like it comes right back down to what are the core items that this person or experiences that this person has had or this candidate has had that will lend itself nicely to our business. I think about the evolution of how organizations have evolved. I think about how things have moved. And while I may not be able to tell you exactly the three skills that somebody's going to have in 24 months that will continue to make us successful, I can tell you that a candidate that has these basic technical principles, but then also has this level of continuing education, scrappiness, ability to thrive in an ever-changing environment, with detailed examples of what that actually means to my company, that person's going to be successful, right? Like I know that person, I can put them through, and this puts it to another part of the HR process that is outside of TA, which is that role of a real strategic HR business partner, even a CHRO, of how do we suss out the make versus buy strategy? And when we talk about the make strategy of our talent, how are we developing them internally as our business is evolving? Because that's what we have to do to make sure that we're staying ahead of these things.
That's the long-term strategy. It's almost like I can hear us moving towards I don't know, persona-based hiring,
Yes.
right? Like that's like it's an it and we sort of had talked a little bit about, or at least I don't know, it's in the water, right? For the past 10 years of you can always teach someone something, but the culture match fit add whatever you want. And it's almost like we're going to in very short order be forced to understand that we're hiring for how this person operates, like the kind of person they are, even above and beyond the experience that they have, maybe. I don't know. Maybe I'm going on a limb, but
No, I think that's fair. I would say not the kind of person they are, because Stephanie at home and Stephanie at work are two very different people. I'm sure it's similar for you. But I would say the working styles, the comfort levels. My working style at work is, I move a million miles a minute. My brain can connect pieces and parts very, very quickly. In my personal life, I overanalyze everything. I have a spreadsheet. Everyone's got a checklist. I don't need to necessarily work that way. But my preferred working style in the work environment is to move at that pace and to move quickly. And if I don't know something, my natural inclination is to go research that thing that I don't know. So I think we, I don't think it's too far of a stretch. I do think that there is a world in which we start to layer in the working styles, the experiences in the workplace, the environments that somebody has thrived in before as part of the validation exercise of candidate matches.
That's so interesting. We're being forced to think about humans. Okay, so all right, I'm just pulling these things together. There was at one point, many, many years ago, one of my sort of early formative experiences, someone said humans aren't resources, right? We can't treat them like resources, right? That HR thing. And that's a very machine era, right? Industrial Revolution mentality. And what now, kind of the ultimate machines and the ultimate, are speeding up everything, the AIs are actually enable it's the machines and the resources that are enabling us to get back to the humans.
I love that you just said that. I say this to my chief product officer all the time. I'm like, when I look at technology, that's the resource. The technology is the resource. The AI is the resource. Everything else that we do is human, right? Everything else that we do is human. And I know that there's been sort of this resistance against the human resources title, and it's sort of people and talent is what we call it, people and culture, just the people team. But really now that's what we are. The resource is the computer, it's the algorithm, it's the code. Whereas we get to bring the human element back to what it is that we do in our craft. And it's incredible because now we get to build really robust cultural ecosystems at a different differently than we have for quite some time.
What? Okay. Wow. So many. Yeah, this is really, really revealing, really interesting. How can, at the risk of repeating ourselves, but just to kind of like think, package it up or summarize it, how can a recruiting team or even the, head of HR or someone, a peer of yours, prep for this new reality? What is it that we need? What is the mindset that we need to change? What is it that we can start to do? Because this isn't going to be an instant change. We've been doing a certain kind of recruiting, a certain kind of talent management for a very long time. Habits are hard to break, especially, as an individual. And then you're talking about systemic habits. So this is not going to be easy. What are the first couple steps? Like, how do we start on our way? How do we start shifting the way a group like this might work?
No, I love, love, love that question. Long, long ago in my career, I was in TA strategy, and one of the things that the place that I was at, they called their talent acquisition or their recruiters, they called them TA consultants. And I loved that, and not at the time, but now I love it because that is the first step. The first step is, in my opinion, I think when you, if you have an HR business partner team, I think pairing those HR business partners who are natural consultants, they're naturally asking inquisitive questions with different depth with a TA partner, to really understand sort of the team dynamics. So as recs come open, and you can always pilot this with one opening at a time, as recs come open, partnering that HR business partner with the talent acquisition individual of the recruiter that is working on the role to help augment their understanding of the team and the team dynamics and help support them by asking consultative questions so that when that recruiter goes into that rec intake process, they are digging in and identifying and understanding what the hiring manager really, really needs to augment the team with so that they're able to suss those questions out in the interview process and really package what the role is and what the company is and what the team is to the candidate in a more transparent fashion. It does sound very basic, but it is something that we don't do today. And I think, many, and I'm sure you've been in this boat before, but how many times has a recruiter, have you as a hiring manager gone back to the drawing board with a rec or redrawn on the profile or recalibrated? This helps mitigate some of that. And so that's the first step. The first step is pairing that business partner, pairing that recruiter, getting a depth of understanding on what the real business needs are, and then empowering that recruiter to ask really consultative questions with the business so that they can build a persona in their mind. So as they are interviewing the candidates, they're getting a better understanding of those experiential and work preference matches.
So we need to front load the time and energy. I think the days of throwing the bulleted recs over the wall, right? Like the bulleted skills over the wall. And so what we really have to do is educate and bring up to speed the business partner so that they understand, like, because you're right. I mean, that's how I connect with other peers and clients, is like asking really interesting questions and like getting at it, because these folks don't, they have assumptions and they don't even know they have those assumptions, right? And you can ask smart questions and they go, oh, I hadn't thought about that. And so when you're, it does take time, right? People are like, ah, meetings, forget it, but it's like to be able to, you're like, hey, we're going to spend 30 minutes talking together. I need that time on your calendar. Believe me, it's going to save time on the back end, and we're going to get a better quality candidate. And I'll just point right back to, it's humans, right? So the email and the Slack messages and the shared documents, let's get all that out of there. Let's have a real human conversation so we can make sure that we get the right people in.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Because while it's front loading the time with the augmentation of all of the tech and resourcing that we have, you're saving time through a process. You're finding efficiency in your process, but by front loading it, asking really solid questions, you're actually reducing your time to fill, reducing ramp time, helping actually impact the organization in a different way. And then, if you're recruiting on a revenue generating role, look at you've just impacted revenue. You've impacted the potential loss of revenue, right? Like you've
Yeah.
real business impact by ensuring that that match was a solid match on the onset.
I wonder if there's a way to. I wonder if at some point we've done this so much, you're able to work with a business partner that they like just begin to learn inherently to understand their staff as persona, like in personas, right? It's like there's different managers and different ways that they do things, but
Yes.
I just feel like there's such a benefit. Not
Right.
just in the recruiting, but in understanding how people work together. And there's certainly tools, right? Like all the different ways people work. But to be able to inherently build that skill, and then is there kind of a, multiplier effect to under like to management? We'll have to leave this for the next, for whatever the next episode is, but managing based on, not thinking about people as human, as resources, thinking about those humans and understanding that deeper persona about how they thrive and how they work. I mean, this is a great, to me, this feels like a really great opportunity. And I'll go right back to where we started, the shift. We're feeling market forces that are driving us to think about a process in a new way. And maybe, just maybe, we have the chance to be able to shift how we run and manage businesses. And it starts with this very specific, focused, sharp moment in that process, that recruiting.
Yeah, everything funnels out from this. Everything spills out from this.
Yeah. Wow. Very, very cool. Okay. I think we'll leave it there. That's a great place to leave it. Stephanie Menzelli, Chief People Officer at Employ Inc. You can learn more about their work, employinc.com. They have all those recruitment and talent brands like Jazz HR, JobVite, and Lever. Awesome, Stephanie. So great to have you on Great Mondays Radio to help us work through some of these interesting times that we're in and how to kind of stay ahead of it. So thank you very,
Thank you.
very much.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate
Thanks for listening to Great Mondays Radio. Hey, if you want to be a guest, head over to radio.greatmondays.com. And if you think this episode was interesting and your friends and fans would enjoy it, please share on social media. And if you want to get more people to understand the power of company culture in business today, please rate and review Great Mondays Radio on your podcast feed. It really helps us reach more people. If you want to hear more candid conversations with culture leaders, subscribe to Great Mondays Radio. I'd love to connect with you. Find me on LinkedIn at AKA Josh Levine, on YouTube at Great Mondays. And you can always email me, josh@greatmondays.com. Find out more about our work with hypergrowth technology and social enterprise organizations at greatmondays.com. I'm Josh Levine. Thanks for listening to Great Mondays Radio.